Hey, it's Joe Sanfrey. I'm the creator of the new Zodiacs, and you are listening to Undercover Capes.
Welcome to the Flipside Focus, your home for all things indie comics, with your hosts, Dodgy, Josh, and Al Mega.
Coming to you from Case HQ, this is Flipside Focus. I am Dodgy, and with me is the ever fuzzy beard himself. It is the random dude, Josh. Say hello.
Hello. This is and, me.
And it is. And with us, and he is back, the alpha numeric, the one and only Al Mega. Say hola.
Wepa! Yes, mi gente, I am back. What's up, Team Flipside?
Man, it's been a long time between drinks. We really miss you, brother.
Between drinks, oceans. Yeah, man, it's been a minute. So I miss you guys too, man. The last person on this team to actually even hear my voice was Mr. Dodgy when he visited the States. That was an awesome visit. It was an absolute pleasure to meet you in person, brother. An honor, if I may say so.
Thank you, and I really appreciate it.
He drop-kicked you right in the feels.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Anyway, Josh, hopefully one day we'll meet, man. I get to rub that big boy head of yours in person.
Well, I told you, come out to Salt Lake.
Yeah. Maybe one day, my friend, when I go close up the shop.
All right. Now on us going back to business. So Al, here you got some comic book news you wanted to shout out to the listeners out there.
Oh man, actually it's something that came out of this weekend. Obviously you guys know I'm a huge Spawn fan.
No, right? Shit. So, you like Spawn? Really?
No. Yeah. You guys didn't know, how dare you. Anyway.
I don't know. You haven't been here for a while, so, you know.
Yeah, we almost forgot your name, brother.
Al who? All right. Well, obviously, our boy, Todd McFarlane, is planning a Spawn movie reboot, all right? But he also stated over the course of the weekend that this may also help pave the way for a new animated series. And I don't know if you guys remember the HBO series from back in the day, but he's still talking in that dark style, you know what I mean? And imagine modernized with today's stories and whatnot, and seeing our boy, I think this is going to be a new golden age for Spawn if this has gotten right. Man, I'm going to be very happy having the entire run, and those of you that gave up on him, shame on you. Shame on you.
That show back in the 90s... that was on HBO. It was dark, and it really pushed. You look at how it was, and it really kind of pushed the boundary on what was okay to be on TV, even at the cable level. And you look at stuff now. I mean, hell, Game of Thrones is, well, Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. And so I'm with you on this one, Al, as much as I hate to admit it. But this one really does have that potential to be the Spawn that we've all been wanting and waiting for.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a character that merits the attention and the accolades. You know, this is an indie character that has been around for 250-plus issues.
Yeah, I mean, and also,
not many indies could say that.
Yeah, exactly. But also, I like the fact, too, that this show was almost the kind of story that McFarlane wanted the movie to be like. The movie was a far cry from it. And then you have something like this, which was, as Josh said, very, very dark. And it really pushed the limits. Like, before that, you know, Sex and the City was like the TV show to push, you know, the F word being used in a, you know, in a regular manner and in a TV setting. And I think this is all, just came afterwards. So, you know, it really pushed a lot of boundaries for an animated short. But I just wish that, you know, with this sort of day and age and how stories are written, there's no limit, man. Like, I'm really excited for this.
And I got something else to be excited about. Did you guys remember seeing, I know this may sound Marvel-based right now for a moment, but do you remember Big Hero 6? Did you guys see that animated property?
I saw the trailer. That's about as far as I got with it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, check this out. I mean, you guys know it's a Marvel property. However, it seems that IDW is going to be publishing a Big Hero 6 comic in conjunction with Disney. Mm. How crazy is that? Something I would figure maybe they would put onto Marvel, you know.
Yeah, well, that's
they're
true.
Actually putting onto IDW. So, I mean, how well connected is IDW and Marvel then? I mean, what is this just a partnership, or is there something a little bit more here at Disney and IDW, you know?
Well, I think Marvel's got their hands full, honestly, with everything that they've got going on. So I think this is more of a Disney thing. I don't think this is a Marvel thing.
It is, yeah.
I think it's Disney looking at it saying, you know, Marvel, you've got your hands full with what you're doing. We're going to have IDW take this one. And I'd be shocked if Marvel's not like, oh, you know, that's a great idea. Because if we add that to the mix, then Bud on No Price Podcast is, you know, that's about another 20 minutes of the show.
All right, and I want to give you something even bigger. I want to move this out the way real quick, all right? Because everybody loves the Image comic book, The Walking Dead, no?
Of course.
Are you guys a fan of the show at all?
I fell asleep halfway through the first episode.
Well, that's not nice of you, Josh. Please give it a chance. Dodgy, all right. So I guess I'm talking to you. Ignore me, Josh. Right. How dare you? So, Dodgy, do you watch Fear the Walking Dead?
Fear the Walking Dead, yes, I do.
Oh, my God. So, you're going to be fucking bugging right now. Robert Kirkman dropped a bombshell, baby. Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead will crossover.
Wow.
Eventually. So we that means that the Fear the Walking Dead is going to have a timeline jump, because currently, from what I saw at last, this current season runs along, I believe, season 3 or 4 of Walking Dead in conjunction with that season, which means that for a crossover to be possible, there has to be a time jump of one of the shows. And obviously, it won't be The Walking Dead because they're already ahead.
Yeah, well and truly.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, how will this crossover happen? How far into the future of Fear is it? And, you know, in what season will it coincide with in this? Because they still haven't stated which season will be.
Yeah.
But they will definitely make it happen. So I find that exciting to kind of see, you know, who from Fear has survived that long.
Yeah, I know. And there'll be a lot of spoilers, too.
Yeah, man. Isn't that going to be fun, dude?
I don't know about fun, but it's going to be interesting because, you know, like, yeah, I guess the writers, if they're, like, planning ahead, I mean, they'd need to know who lives or dies and that. And
at
also,
that point,
as the seasons progress, but as the seasons progress, they have to keep that in the back of their mind to make sure that they don't fuck it up.
Even with the spoilers, you know, even if somebody's missing, doesn't necessarily mean they're dead.
True.
There could be a mystery behind that or whether or not they're. Even if they die, don't you want to see if they went on like a warrior or like a punk? You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah,
because I know if I was there, man, I'm gonna die getting chopped up somewhere, chopping people back up.
Yeah,
I'm going down fighting.
I'll be digging a hole in the ground and I'll stay there forever. Make my own.
Todd's going to be like an ostrich. He's going to get eaten from the ass down first.
No, I'm going to be like the mole man. Live underground.
Oh, God.
All right. Is there any exciting news that you guys have been on top of that came out during the show this weekend?
You know, Alternate Comics, their newspaper line is going to be, you're going to be able to pick those issues up in Toys R Us stores across the country.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I'm sorry. Toys R Us?
Yes, Toys R Us, believe it or not.
Did they just file for bankruptcy?
Yeah, you know, I'm staying away from that one.
I hope they got paid up front. I hope they got paid up front, man. Shit.
Honestly, like, I'm just excited that now you're going to have another opportunity, because not every area necessarily has a local comic book shop.
Big up.
But Cheetah, Toys R Us are everywhere. And so this is a great opportunity to really enjoy comics as we knew them. Not in the glossy paper that they use now, but in the newspaper print style.
Did you happen to see their recent set of commercials? One was filmed at a local store that's one of the two local stores by me, Friendly Neighborhood Comics. They actually filmed a newsprint commercial there.
I did.
It's pretty funny where they walk into the shop and basically everybody's standing in the shop sniffing the middle of the comic book.
I saw that. Mm-hmm. That's funny.
You know, and that's one of the things that, I mean, Mike, obviously 13th Crusader from Defender of Crusade.
That's his
cologne. He's an ink junkie. Ink junkie. I think I've caught him naked sometimes in a room with a book on his face, you know, feeling high. I'm like, oh my God, what are you doing to yourself? He may need comic book rehab.
Oh,
nah, I'm just playing, Mike. You know, we love you, bro. You know, he's a great collector, but it's funny. You could tell where his book came from based on the smell. He kills me. He doesn't get it wrong. He got a nose all right, like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. I've got a bit of news. I mean, if you guys are like following your favorite comic book creators, just check the hashtag Inktober2017, man. Like, you'll see a lot of creators who are, you know, a lot of indie creators creating their own work or, you know, create like drawing images of others. But it's a great time. It's a great month to check out the talent of our, you know, comic book creators. I mean, no matter where they are in the globe, you can check out Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I mean, It's magic,
it's all
man.
Over,
like,
yeah,
it's awesome.
There's even more magic. I don't know for you Sonic fans out there. You know, unfortunately, Archie is no longer publishing the Sonic line of comic books, some stories were cut short. But over the course of the weekend, IDW has announced that one of the creators behind Sonic during the Archie run, Ian Flynn, is in fact moving over to IDW to write a Sonic series for IDW that's going to be a weekly release, and it's going to be slated for April 2018. So Sonic fans, they are, you know what I'm saying, you should be very happy that Ian Flynn is going to continue the stories of your favorite hero via IDW. So big up to IDW for picking that up. But my daughter is definitely a big fan of Sonic, so I know she's excited to see the label continue.
That's awesome. Speaking of awesome, I don't know if you guys saw Garrett Gunn's Kickstarter campaign got fully funded after 3 days of being live. We're going to get the sequel to the derogatory Tales of Franklin and Ghost, and it's Franklin and Ghost, No Fox Given. As far as Kickstarters go, like, I was absolutely amazed at how quickly that was able to be fully funded. So now, for the rest of the month, every backer, now you're pushing into any of the stretch goals that he has lined up.
Absolutely.
There was another one. Damn it. There was another project I was mentioning, and I don't remember what it was. Whatever.
Well, getting back to that, to the Gary, the double G book, that definitely, and I hope people look at it from Adult Swim. Let's go. Wouldn't that make it a great Adult Swim cartoon?
Yeah, that it would. It would also be a great video game. I mean, I think we all need to have Franklin and Ghost in our life, whatever form it is. Just saying. We all need it. So
there you go, video game companies. Listen to us, side scrollers.
yeah. There's my side scroller plug. So,
All right, and I want to go something that started off as an indie film in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, just for you horror heads, because it is October and it's the month of horror. definitely, if you're into horror, check out Leatherface. It's the last Tobe Hooper project. It tells the origin of Jeb, a favorite boy in the mask with a chainsaw. You get the story behind the mask, the story behind Jeb. So, people, let me tell you, if you're a Leatherface fan, I think you'll definitely enjoy it, man. Check it out.
Is it a story about the chainsaw?
Yeah, the chainsaw, the mask, everything.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah, dude, man. You get to understand how very twisted. Oh, man. No, Zach, you see the development of why he is the way he is. And then from there, you can watch the OG and then go into the rest.
All right, cool. Sounds like a romantic love story.
A gory romantic love story, for sure. You know, for you guys that want to get your girl to start squeezing you, this is the movie for it.
No.
The first date, this is the ideal movie for you.
They'll be all scared and squeezing up on you. You know what I mean? Or vice versa. Who knows? Because there's a lot of dudes out there, little punks.
Yeah, that'll be me. Or Taji chair.
Taji watches every horror movie with a teddy bear, apparently.
We'll call Dodgy, will go from being called Dodgy to Squeezy.
Dodgy, itchy. If that works, I'll take it. Whatever.
All right.
So, moving along. Any other news you guys want to shout out before we move into In Focus?
Not that I can think of.
Yeah, let's get into In Focus, brother.
All right. Our In Focus is based on the publishing company Aftershock Comics, who have made some tremendous books. I mean, one of my personal favorites is the Rough Riders season, or the first volume, which was a spectacular book that I reviewed once here on Flipside Focus. Absolutely loved it. Almost missed my bus stop because I was freaking reading it, but it was worth it, and it was an amazing story, and it created a soft spot for me when actually reading these books, because there's a lot of heart going into it. Even Monster, which is another tremendous story, and I know I've mentioned it on here on Flipside as well. So, you know what? We're going to just delve into some, Aftershock books. Josh, what have you got? What book have you read?
So the book that I read, and it's funny you mentioned Rough Riders, because that was the one that I had read, was Ooh. Rough Riders number 6. This one, now obviously growing up in the States, you know, going through, you know, our social studies, learning about presidents mm-hmm. of the past,
of
you know, Teddy Roosevelt is a household name within the country. So coming into this, I loved it. It really took the character and made him into a superhero, and really any of those famous figures, Captain Kidd, that Al shows up and the cough comes back. Do you notice something here? But taking all those
the hero in you wants to fight the evil Al Maga. No, I'm sorry. I'm trying to hold down my evil persona. I'm sorry.
Take you back to the 90s and beat you with a cassette tape.
Oh. I pull out my boombox, baby.
I really love how they've taken these characters that we all know. You know, Teddy Roosevelt, Annie Oakley, Thomas Edison, and I mean, hell, even Harry Houdini is in this, and really making a very unique story while still keeping it accurate to the time in history that it is. So even the technology that's being used is still accurate based off of that time frame. You know, they don't have cell phones, they don't have, you know, things like that. Everything's like either steam powered, or if there is electricity involved, it's very primitive to what we have now. So this book, written by Adam Glass and Patrick O'Leaf, very well done. The artwork is fantastic. And that's one thing that I've really come to enjoy and appreciate really about indie comics in general, is that all throughout the book, the artwork is going to maintain a level of consistency. You know, not all the focus is going to be on the splash pages where some of the panels are going to suffer. This book is one of those where it is consistent and gorgeous throughout the entire book. So.
I'll say that Edison is a total dick.
Yes, he is.
One thing, Dodgy, if you're an avid reader of this, because I fell off after volume one, there's a particular scene here with Annie Oakley. Is she like the Rough Rider Superwoman or something?
Well, I haven't actually read the second season. I do actually, I've actually got on my pull list and I have been buying it, but I haven't actually had the chance to sit down and read it because I kind of felt I really enjoyed it more when I read it as a trade. So I do have all of the issues up to date, but I haven't had the chance to sit down and read it. But I did feel as if, though, that she is the dark horse of the team. There's something about her that's mysterious that I actually appreciated.
She pulls off a certain stunt here that made me wonder, you know, her power level. I was like, huh? Like, who does that? It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, they did touch it on in the first volume, and that's what I mean. There's something about her that's a little bit mysterious, because in history she's actually the world's greatest gunslinger. So there is something in her that that was quite interesting. But as Josh said, the art, like I kind of compare him to David Finch in some levels, and that was the thing when I first picked up the Rough Riders book, because I had no idea what the story was or what it was about, but I did see the imagery of what looked to be like you know, Roosevelt, and I was like, you know, if that's my idol there, I'm going to really love this book. And it was, because I actually really admire Teddy Roosevelt on so many levels. You know, one, he grew up, you know, a bit disabled. He overcame that, wanted to prove himself to be a hero, you know, fought in Cuba. Like, man, like, that's my kind of hero, you know. And it came from a rich upper class, but he didn't live that way. He sort of tried to downplay his wealth status. So I really dig him for that, and it's a really great pick, Josh.
Yeah, it was one that honestly, out of all of them, it was the one that caught my attention first, and I was like, oh, let's check this one out. And I remember you talking about it, and I remember you raving about it in previous episodes. So, you know, going into it, I obviously had a very good recommendation. What I'd like to see, though, is maybe some spinoff stories, maybe even like talking about Harry Houdini and having a separate story for him, and incorporate kind of what's going on here, but have more focus on him as well. Because he, at the same time, just from what I was reading, the focus was more on Teddy and not so much everyone else, you know?
Yeah,
this has the potential to open up to a lot of either spin-off stories or side stories that could so really enhance it.
Yeah, absolutely. But can I ask, is this going to be an ongoing series, or is this going to be a mini? That's the concern, because I think you're right. If they do continue to spawn into maybe the teens or even the 20s in terms of issues, I think then they can actually have some spin-off issues. But wouldn't it be interesting, though, if Nikola Tesla actually appears? That I really want to see.
Yeah, I would be cool.
The unsung hero.
That.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, he would make a great villain.
Poor guy, he shouldn't be a villain. Thomas Edison's a villain, in my opinion. But anyways, I won't go there. but I'd love to see. Yeah, you're right.
Everyone's expecting Tesla to be a hero.
Yeah.
So why not mix it up? I mean,
why not make him the anti-hero, just vindictive towards Edison? You know, like, he's cool with everybody else, but man, you know, and you know that Annie Oakley won't have any problem.
Going
after this dude, so
okay, so he'd be like the typical Spidey villain, because, you know, Spidey villains are not actually villains; they're just desperate. They're trying to do things, like rob a bank, for example, and Spider-Man just gets in the way. You know,
yeah, that's man. I'm not trying to do this forever, but you know,
yeah,
you know, but you know I think revenge. Spider-Man deserves his ass beat for being nosy. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So, Aftershock, we know you're listening to this. We've got a great idea for you. There you go. We need Nikola Tesla in this series as an anti-hero.
Yeah.
He deserves that, because he was a thug, man, that nobody listened to.
Okay, so come back, kid. It's now your turn. What have you got, Al?
Well, being an 80s kid, big fan of Kung Fu.
Oh, you bastard. I should have gone first.
It's all right. We're all going to talk about it. Everybody's going to get their say. But Jay Nitz and Wes St. Clair did a book for Aftershock called Fu Jitsu. Right? Mm. Fu Jitsu, two separate words, folks. Nothing style. Yeah. This is Fujitsu, the man. There's a dude that seems to have gone to try to find enlightenment for a very long time for a very silly reason, apparently, which is what's very funny. But he's a master in a certain style. We have a villain looking for a super weapon, creates a very weird group of people to obtain said super weapon, and obviously shit hits the fan from there, because now we have a very famous actor from back in the day, apparently resurrected, going after our boy, and they have something very cool. This dude is so in touch with the martial arts that he knows martial arts on a cellular level. So all I'll say is think healing factor. Healing factor that does karate. Pretty wild. This is kung fu with a very high sci-fi twist to it. A lot of very crazy scientific stuff going on. But I think it's a great mix because it feels like this is a martial arts James Bond type of adventure. Now you have the supervillain going up to the super weapon, and there's one guy that knows these super techniques is going to try to get down to what's popping. And I think Aftershock, there's something real fun here. Jay Nitz did a fantastic job writing the story. Wes Anclair did very well drawing the story. The art, you know, I'm always into the emotion, so definitely displayed very well throughout. The colors in the book as well well done. I mean, I love the book overall. I give this very high rating. I would definitely suggest that you guys go ahead if you want something that's fun, a little bit more out there. And obviously has no fucking political undertones, thank goodness.
Action
book. A funnel action comic book. You know what I mean? This is what we need. We don't need no political undertones in this shit. Just something fun. And I think that this book does just that. So thank you, Aftershock. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Wes. Guys, your thoughts, if you have checked this out. Dodgy obviously did, so Dodgy, man, let me know. What you thought?
Well, I mean, this book surprised me. You're absolutely right. The art in it is tremendous, and that's the first thing I fell in love with. You know, the emotions in the face, a little bit animated in some elements, almost to the degree of Chu-style art. But on that token, the action sequences were fun. And it felt like a book that, as you mentioned, no political undertone, so it didn't take itself seriously. You know, I really enjoyed it from beginning to end. It actually felt shorter than it was because of the amount of action in the site. And also the splash pages as well were fun. You know, you're right about the famous Hollywood actor. So I noticed it almost immediately, but, you know,
with the Hollywood actor, one of my reviewers on Comic Crusaders, Brian, pointed out that maybe, just maybe, the character reference is very dated. Do you think it is? Do you think that this new generation would be familiar with that actor?
Come on, man. Like, his face is, like, still up on billboards. I think he's, like...
don't think it's a dated reference?
No, not at all. Okay. I mean, you look at Colonel Sanders, right? You still know who Colonel Sanders is. He was before our time, but he's still up there. You know what I mean? And we know who he is. You know? Or if you look at, I don't know, just look at a dollar bill. Like, you can see George Washington. Like, you know who that is. Like, even I know, and I'm not even from America. You know, to say it's dated, it's like saying, human existence didn't exist. You know, Mona Lisa is still up there. Che Guevara, like...
Understood, but saying, just being the way that he came off, I don't know if this new generation, maybe they'll gain an interest into who he was. But, I mean, in reality, how many films the dude did? He was like the biggie of movie stars with, what, two movies?
Yeah, Giant and Rebel Without a Cause.
Yeah, two movies. He's the biggie, two albums. He's the best ever was. I gotta disagree with that. All right.
Well, anyway. Fine. Both of those movies did really well, and I mean, they sold a lot of tickets. So put it that way.
But Dodgy's a fan. Never mind. I got you, brother. It's okay. I'm sorry.
I'm a Hollywood advocate. Anyways, going back to the actual comic book that we were originally talking about, the coloring, I think, is a major factor. But also, it's just how smart the kid is was quite intriguing. You know, they talk about you know, you mentioned before about his martial arts, but he's supposed to be the smartest kid alive, and his girlfriend's pretty hot too, so he's pretty lucky dude, I would say.
Yeah, man. Josh, did you not check this one out?
So I'm actually going through it a little bit. You know, the artwork, it's not reaching out like it is for you guys, for me. I
know what it is. Looking through it is one thing, but as for me, with anything, you got to read the story and see. And once you start reading the story, you'll see how the art starts blending with the story really well.
It's complementary.
Yeah, it really is. And I think, you know, I think just flipping through the book though does it no justice. Fair enough. What? And that shit goes for every single comic book, folks. Y'all pick up a book. Don't just look at the art and say, blah. Believe me, sometimes you just never know how complementary the writing is to art and vice versa. You know what I mean? Based on the particular story.
Well, how about this? I will read it, and then I will report back on the next episode.
I have one more question for you, because I know I don't even have to ask Dodgy, because I know he's a Kung Fu fan. Me and him actually had a Kung Fu session in the middle of Boston. We destroyed a couple of buildings, but, you know, we all came out of it and nobody was hurt. Were you a Kung Fu fan when you were a young kid?
I mean, there's definitely some movies and stuff that incorporated it that I enjoyed. Like Jet Li's The One. That's not
Kung Fu. Dodgy, you know what I'm talking about. Master Killer, you know, Shaolin. Oh my gosh, like 36 Chamber. Well, come on.
Any sort of martial arts, you know, regardless of the style, I appreciate it for what it is.
I challenge you next. Hopefully we won't lose as many buildings next time.
Well, next time, don't play in the kid area and destroy all their Legos. Jerk.
Folks, this is what I was doing, all right? Folks, you see, I was being a major asshole throughout America whenever possible. Dodgy interrupted my flow when he visited, so I had to be a good boy when he visited. And then I continued on my randomness of taking over as many things as I could take over.
So instead for the greater good of
the UCP and CC.
So instead of Al Mega, you were being Al Edison. I got it.
Never, brother. Never. I ain't no Edison, bro. Fuck that mofo. I was about, yo, Tesla, yo, off topic, dude, but bless that man's mind. I wish that his mind was alive today, because today he would be appreciated. This motherfucker invented motherfucking cell phones back in the 20s, 30s, dude. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's crazy. Wireless electricity, crazy. Because of his free corporations, that's nuts, man. Whatever. Yeah. You know, bless his ideas, and I hope that someone could see them through one day. I mean, supposedly that someone's supposed to be Elon Musk, but let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
All right, so I'll talk about my book now. I've chosen Animosity Evolution Number 1 by Marguerite Bennett and Eric Gaptra. Sorry. Butcher your name. Gaptra, so this is in an interesting world, because it's a world where humans and animals live side by side. You know, animals, like their human counterparts, have work, and they communicate efficiently, and they're just part of our day-to-day society. Like, you know, they've got jobs like, you know, collecting medication or handing scalpels to surgeons and things like that. So I found that to be really interesting. And it was centered about a character and his dog who just innocently just walk around, you know, through the hilltops and whatnot. And then, you know, like, you know, fighter planes fly overhead, and then suddenly disaster strikes. And it's almost to the degree, like, you know, it seemed like a really warm book to begin with, and it just ends on a catastrophic level, which really threw me. And I mean, I don't mind reading a book that has the animals and the humans interlinked. I think that's pretty cool. And it's well written as well. I think Bennett does an amazing job of creating a conversation between animals and humans. You almost think that when a human or an animal is talking to a human, they'd be, you know, maybe a little bit formal in their approach. But these are almost like other humans. So I think it's really, really cool.
It's a great concept.
Yeah, it is. It really is. But just the ending just really, you know, it just rattled my engines. It was like, whoa, what the hell?
Yeah, but now, you know what? With that ending, man, I mean, you know, you may have just created a monster. You know what I mean?
That's exactly right. And that's where the evolution, and you actually get a gist of it from the cover. You don't really see any of that in the book until, like, the final page, as you mentioned out. So it's almost like something, you know, when they say evolution, it means something beyond the animal, you know, the animal species that walk, you know, that talk and communicate and work, and they do everything we do. But man,
it's like Planet of the Apes, but now they're using all animals.
Exactly, yeah. And the animals still look like animals. They don't, like, except for a bear that wears a t-shirt. But all the other animals still walk on their, you know, four legs, and they still look like your traditional animals. As
the
I said,
bear is just the bear of his nipples. That's all it was.
Yeah, he's just hiding. She was just hiding it.
Hashtag but bear nipples.
Bear nipples, you know. Dude, yeah, it's a good book. Marguerite definitely does her job here. I know that Robert from Comic Crusaders and No Prize Podcast has been a big fan of this book. And I agree with him. It's definitely been one of the top books written by Marguerite Bennett. You know, and it's kind of a horror book, too. Think about it. Because you just imagine one day waking up, your dog's talking, you dodge, you're like, yo, brother, give me a cup of coffee, take me out of piss, open the door, gotta go. Can you imagine? You know, and then you gotta treat them not as an animal, but as your equal.
Yeah,
you know, that'll be a crazy shock to society. That was the case. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
But I love the concept. So it's a good job, man. I don't know what type of weed she smoked that night to come up with this, but I mean, his number. I mean, this book is almost as sick as the other book that they did, Jimmy's Bastards. I mean, this book, I have to read it from the beginning because I'm not. just flipping through the book is like, oh my goodness, you have women with male genitalia, men with titties, men scissoring in the middle of the street that look like Hercules. It's like, what in the hell? I mean, there's an old man here that, you know, that looks like Colonel Sanders. With the titties that look, they stretch to his knees. I mean, just on the visuals alone, the art is that old school, very funny 70s, late 70s, early 80s humor type art. I don't know, from the adult comics. I don't know if you're familiar with what I'm talking about, from the magazine style comic books. But this book is hysterical, man. I don't know if any of you guys read it, but I have to start this from the beginning because whatever it is, it looks like it's absolutely insane.
See, and that's kind of the same thing with the normals. That's one that, because I was going through issue number 5 and just reading through it, I'm like, oh my God, I've missed so much. I need to read 1 through 4.
Yeah, but the normals is a little bit different because it seems like it has a very deep story to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's something else going on here. I mean, with the Jimmy's Bastards, look, it's just wild. So it looks like something on some National Lampoon's level that's just, you know, really dark humor. As opposed to the normals, it has a serious undertones to it. You know, I definitely do want to know what the hell's going on. You know, actually, you know what this fits? What that movie does that right now, Blade Runner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you not capture that in this issue? That Blade Runner-ish feel with the whatever they are?
Oh, no, I did catch on to that, yeah.
Are you guys Blade Runner fans?
Not really.
I am.
All right, did you see that uncut version?
It's still downloading, man.
Excellent. You definitely should check it out. Did anybody check out Baby Teeth now?
No.
All right, this seems just to be a little bit twisted. I don't know what the hell is going on, but again, I'm going to catch on to the early issues. But every comic should feel like your first, right?
Mm-hmm, so, of course.
You know, again, like the book that Josh had mentioned, this one kind of intrigued me a bit. The lead person that comes out somewhere mid-book is very Jackie Estacado, aka the Darkness look. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of reminded me of, I see there's a lot of black magic in this book. Whether or not it caught me, can't say for 100. Now that like the Jimmy's Bastards got me curious, or the normals, but Baby Teeth seems to be intriguing. It does seem to have critical acclaim, but I don't know if it caught me. There was another book that caught me, but I hope one of you guys mention it.
Which book was that?
Altars. With Paul Jenkins and Layla Lays? Or Lees?
No, I missed that one. I don't know how I missed that one, but I missed it.
Yeah, so there's Altars. Basically, this is the boy, but this boy could think Shazam turns into a female superhero.
Oh.
And yeah, so he's basically like a transgender superhero in theory, because something you find out throughout is that in every other multiverse existence of this, you know, persona, he is a she. It is only in this one world that she is a he. So they have this identity, okay, you know, kind of identity thing going on throughout the book. And she's in this world, and in this world where she got her powers called the Alters, or Alteration. And it seems that other people get affected with this as well. Think about the mutant gene, but instead of the mutant gene, it's something else. You know what I mean? The Alteration. And there's, you know, we introduced another character here that is altered in theory. And we also get introduced to someone that's a friend of hers. Not more or less introduced, because again, the book has been running. But we see there's a friend of her in this book that is an alter. And if this person was to revert from their alter mode, they would die. But in the alter mode, they're in a coma. Kind of how fucked up is that? So, yeah, you know, you see the reality of consequences here for superheroing, you know, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The book seems to have a lot of, you know, social issue undertakings here, which are pretty strong. You know, one of the main characters is dealing with homelessness. And at the end of the book, Paul Jenkins actually writes something in regards to the theme he had going on in the book, you know, in regards to the homelessness. Very strong editorial. This is a very strong book. I want to read more of it. Sure, I'm definitely going to catch up on the rest of the issues, because this is issue 7 that just came out. This is actually an ongoing series, or at least one of the first ongoing, for one on stand. But if I'm wrong, let me know if it's just going to go to issue 8. I normally don't see the Alters. I normally don't see Aftershock books go past issue 6, so I think it'll be safe to assume that this may be an ongoing. But I'm definitely going to read the back issues. Paul Jenkins and Layla doing a very good job. It's very good artwork. A strong story, again, with the social issues that they're trying to discuss. I think this is a very important book for nowadays, and I actually enjoyed it. None of the issues feel forced. You just read the character and you relate to their plight, you know, whatever things you're going through, you know what I mean? So this book is written really well, and the art expresses it as well. So great job to Aftershock with this book. You know, Alters is definitely going to get on my pull.
Yeah.
Nice.
Honestly, all of Aftershock's releases have all been fantastic. In all reality, which, you know, props to them for putting out good books. Because I think to some degree, you look at like what the Big Two's doing, they put out so many books that they're looking more at quantity than quality.
Yeah, and even with their legacy rebranding, is it really going to help? I mean, recent numbers show that it didn't really help much as it did with DC. This is not that show for that, so good for them. Indy's going to keep rocking it as we're going, because look how people just discovered Sean Murphy. You know what I mean? The dude that did Punk Rock Jesus, the book that I was telling you guys to check out, because it's amazing. You know, he touches the Batman book, and all of a sudden, he's, oh my God, here they start the Murphyverse. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We should, though. Mm. We should, though, because he's amazing. But I'm glad people discovered his talent. You know, he came off of Vertigo, which is kind of what, you know, the indie of the DCU, let's say. And he's been doing amazing work there. He did some other shit for Image. So I'm glad that people are discovering his work. It's well merited.
Fantastic.
Yeah, brother. So anything else you got popping, bro?
I think we need to jump into Kickstarter. That's what we need to do.
Yeah.
Because it's like, Al, were you not prepared? You know this is our favorite segment.
Well, you know the Comic Crusaders is always supporting a Kickstarter. And you're probably going to cock back me the one that we mentioned recently, which is all good. But I have tons of Kickstarter alerts that people you could check out on ComicCrusaders.com.
Well, I want to start this one off because I've got a pick that's not expected, especially coming from me.
Lord, my goodness.
I know. This is going to shock you. So this one, funny enough, it's in the comic section, but it's not a comic book. But that's okay, because with it being the month of October or Inktober, this one, it's Horror at the Home Plate, A League of Zombies. So this is, if you remember those old baseball cards, mm-hmm. what the creator, Sean McManus, what he's done is he's created these retro-style baseball cards, but they're zombies. So it still has that kind of that posed look that the baseball cards of the 30s and the 40s had, where you could tell. It's like, okay, now hold the bat up like you're going to swing. You know, not what we do.
That's the action cards. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're all zombies and they're, you know, their faces are falling off. The artwork is phenomenal.
I like stuff like that.
I figured you would.
Man. I still have my Mafia cards from the 90s. If you remember the Mafia card set and the Serial Killer set.
Yeah.
I actually got those. Still.
This is my surprise face.
If we could please take a photo of that and share it.
Oh, I will post that later for sure. Yeah. But yeah, this is just very, very unique. And it's so unique, and that's why I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. I want to share it. You know, it's already with a goal of $3,500. You know, they're super close. They're at $33.90. So they're almost fully funded with 23 days to go. But again, much like Franklin and Ghost, even if they're fully funded early on, then you start getting into the fun stuff, the stretch goals. And this is one I would definitely check out, especially if you love horror, if you love zombies, and if you love sports. It's all three wrapped up in one nice little package.
Nice.
And it's Horror at the Home Plate, League of Zombies. So.
League of Zombies. I like.
Go check it out.
I like that one. All righty. That's not a great. I have one. Don't think I was not prepared. How dare you? All right. Well, check this out. One of Comic Crusaders' friends and a great creator, Mr. Monty Nero, one of my favorite books from Titan of recent memory, Death Sentence, has a new Kickstarter coming out, and it's called Hollow Monsters. It actually just started. So basically, Hollow Monsters connects real and imagined horrors for a gang of kids on a suburban housing estate in the 80s. So think that 80s setting horror, all right? And so as the decade progresses and the kids grow up, the nightmare stays with them, all right? So, you know, he's bringing it on to the future, echoing their lives with disturbing effect. So it's one of those haunting, psychological type of horrors. And he's actually studying in school some type of a link to reading type of horror and emotions. He's actually going to run some actual scientific tests on that, which is going to be really bugged out. He's actually willing to talk to UCPN on top of that, so we're ready for him. But check out this project. Monty Nero has a very twisted mind that I love very much. He's sick with his stories, and I'm pretty sure that this new Kickstarter is going to be just as kick-ass as everything that he's done thus far. I highly suggest you check out what he's done. And of course, invest in this little program. And actually, the Kickstarter, this is actually pretty good. Because as of this recording, the Kickstarter actually starts on Monday the 9th, right? And runs until Wednesday the 8th of November, right? Feel free to visit comiccrusaders.com and look up Hollow Monsters to check out some preview pages and a direct link to the Kickstarter. But Monty, good luck on this. It's something I think I'm going to not even think. I know I'll put some support behind this. But I think in this man's talent and in his storytelling capability, and the art looks wonderful for what he's trying to do. So, again, as an indie enthusiast, this is something you should definitely check out.
I like it. All right, yeah, man.
The post goes live tomorrow on Comic Crusade if you want to see the Kickstarter. Obviously, I can't post it before it goes out. But
yeah.
Nice. So the pick that I've got is Hailed by Miranda Richardson. So it's issues number 6 and 7. So this is a superhero comic about a young lady who crumbles into shards of glass as she experiences anxiety. And I think anxiety is a very important topic to talk about in comics in general, because as we know, probably like 50% of the world's population actually suffer from this a form of mental illness. So I think it's extremely important that if you are a sufferer of anxiety or some form of depression, this is a comic book you should pick up, because it's all about a character who has superhero abilities but also crumbles under certain types of pressure. So I think this is a very important book. It's already fully funded, so the target is actually an Australian book. So it's out of $1,000 for the goal, $1,000 Aussie, it reached $1,995, so almost 100% profit in this. 3 days to go, 53 backers. It's an amazing book to actually get your hands on. The art is nice, it's pretty decent in terms of the art. You do get the 2 issues, number 6 and 7, plus a back issue. So, rather than just having only 2 issues and thinking to yourself, I would rather read the whole story because I'm jumping into a character I'm not really accustomed to or familiar with. So I think it's an amazing, it's amazing that you actually do get the back issues with it. If you pay $5, you get, issue number 1, which is pretty cool. Pay $10 or more, you get the digital issues of 6 and 7. $15, you get the full story. So you get all 7 issues, which is pretty awesome. And I think, very fair. And you get everything. And that's Aussie dollars. So that would probably work to about 13 or 12 or 13 US dollars. So
it's for 7 issues? Hell yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And it's got a lot of a lot of good reviews. So I'm looking at the actual page now and on the Kickstarter website. So it's definitely worth a check out. And for anyone who's looking for a female lead character, and as I mentioned before about the depression thing, I think it's an amazing book, and I think everyone should check it out. It actually was a 2017 Ledger shortlist comic. So wow, that's pretty cool. I did not know that. And if for those of you unfamiliar with the Ledger Awards, it's like the Australian equivalent of the Harvey Eisner Awards. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Nice. I also just remembered, it was the piece of news that I totally forgot earlier on, and it's relevant to this segment. Joe St. Pierre's Kickstarter, The New Zodiac, was fully funded.
Yeah, go Joe!
It's got 3 days left, but it's 102% fully funded, or 102% funded, so we are going to get New Zodiac Volume 1 actually published, so.
Well deserved, man. Jeez. Joe is the man. That book is absolutely amazing, and with this, I hope we start seeing the development of Volume 2.
And at this point, we make a big enough push, we can get not only Volume 2, but 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Yeah, man. Everybody, man. you know, in support of Joe, you got to use the Joeverse hashtag. The Joeverse.
The Joeverse.
No, but go, Joe. That's awesome, man. Very happy to hear that. It's great news, man. Well deserved. Mm-hmm. He's one of the hardest working men in the industry on some real business. He really is. I see him at every show really pushing his talent and his skill.
Yeah.
And he definitely, man, you know, he's such a nice person, man. Kids go up to him sometimes. He just draws some something free for them, you know what I mean? Just to get them into the artwork and into the story. He's real cool, man. Big ups.
And, you know, he's the huge supporter of Undercover Capes, so of course.
I'm not saying that just because of that. He really is the person, man. He rocks, man. Come on.
Now he's a cool dude.
That's secondary. Yeah, Jaji had the chance to meet him in our events. You know what? Yeah, man. I haven't been on since you came. So, people, man, Jaji's a real cool dude, man. It was fun to have him. He would disappear on me though, like Superman, like Batman does with Superman sometimes. Like one moment I'm talking and I look behind me and like, where the hell did he go to? He's online somewhere for an autograph or shaking somebody's hand. He was pimping at BCC, baby.
Yeah, it was great fun, and I met a lot of creators there. It was awesome.
Yeah, man, it was a good show, bro. So hopefully you get to come into the States another occasion. That'll be awesome, man. Like I said, hopefully we get to. I'll try Salt Lake, but hopefully you try East Coast too, bro.
Oh yeah. Why not?
East Coast is deserving of your head glare. Come on, bro. Please.
Now. I will definitely try to make it out there.
One day. For Rhode Island, for Boston, for something, bro.
Something. A little something.
Yeah, we got something better than England ever had. We have real Comic Cons, not Marts. Yes, you heard it. I said it.
Oh, shit.
World War III is going to be against the UK because we have cons and they have marks. I'm just happy because he's neither. He's safe.
Exactly.
All right, so anybody picked up any good indie goodies recently?
Oh, no. I still need to pick up Cuphead. I still need to get that game.
An amazing indie game that looks incredible. Absolutely. Dodgy, any indie pickups lately or anything you need to pick up?
No, I think as I said before, the Rough Riders, I really need to actually sit down and read, but you could almost call it indies. My Pal Archie, I'm really digging.
Really? It's really that good? Cause I see his damn parents, so I'm obviously he's great at what he does, but you know, with all the Riverdale craze and them going towards that sort of realism and the main Archie titles, and My Pal Archie is kind of keeping it old school, right?
Yeah, and I miss the old school because when I was watching an episode of Preacher, and one of the angels, you know, had to leave behind his luggage, and he goes, "Oh, my comic books." But then when they see him and Cassidy reading his comic books, he was actually reading the old school Archie, like from the 80s or prior, and almost like brought back the memories of the books that my brother used to read, because he used to read those comics, and I would read them as well, because hearing him laugh, I was got curious. I read them as well and also laughed. So I miss those chuckles, you know, like yep. Don't get me wrong, the digests are pretty cool, but I prefer the floppy, you know, I prefer the floppy comics than the digest.
I grew up familiar with Archie via the Digest, to be honest. I mean, I don't think there's any comic book collector out there that could state that they didn't see an Archie book, you know, and not pick it up.
Yeah.
At least once. Exactly. You know, if you say you didn't, you stop lying.
And there was a time where we didn't actually consider Archie as comics, because when we look at the Wizard magazine, they really didn't have anything on Archie.
No, they didn't. Exactly. It was ignored.
Yeah, it was ignored. I mean, probably the only thing that was mentioned was the Sonic books, but...
And that was early on at that time as well.
Yeah, but
it became one of the most successful comics for Archie, though, that Sonic line. You know? It really was.
Yeah.
And it's sad that they let go of that contract, man. I'm really sad about that, but I'm glad IDW has the courage to pick it up, so thank you, IDW. It made my daughter happy.
Because if his daughter ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
Yeah, man, because if Almeida got to be upset, then the whole world's going to be upset. No, let me stop.
Oh, boy.
I would love to be like that type of villain, you know, the cool villain, but it's the villain nonetheless. This is fun. Bad guys have more fun, people. You know that. That is on my tattoo. Exactly. Stop the Khan and Cobra all the way.
Yeah.
Cobra Khan.
Cobra Khan.
Oh, jeez.
It's on my arm before you ask, right? Already Josh is thinking filthy. Josh is thinking filthy on automatic. Where is that tat out? You don't know. No, stop it. It's on my arm.
Uh-huh. That's what you want to call it.
Oh, it is. Thank you for the compliment, Josh. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry you got just a mini arm.
Hey, mini me. See, he only instigates because he's in Australia. It's all right. It's all right. You're too far from our reach. We'll get to the yet crusader from Oz.
Come at me, bro.
Folks, we're going to be doing a video soon. So you're going to be seeing our ugly faces on video, and I hope that you enjoy us in our extreme realness. I won't wear any makeup, neither one Dodgy. I don't know about Josh, because, you know, it'll depend if it's a heavy lighted area or not.
Al will put on pants for this.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he better.
I thought I had my camera covered. I thought I had my camera covered. Josh, you dirty bastard.
Oh, Al's been gone all this time. Comes back, you know he's got jokes.
I'm very enthusiastic about the indies. Any other top reads for you during the course of the past few weeks that maybe missed out on, guys, that you need to tell me about? Because I know I'm excited about something. Obviously, with the New York Comic Con over, that means that finally, folks, we're gonna get Ninja Jack versus Valiant U.
Oh, yeah.
Who's excited, baby?
It's
coming.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because in our last episode, I actually talked about, you know, the secret origins of the Valiant universe as my pick.
Yeah. It was a great book. I actually read that the other day because I'm very behind in reading. But now that I'm also on vacation this week, thank God I could probably catch up. But that was one of the books that I did read. It was a lot of fun. It didn't feel too much like like that Rise Zero, for example.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, it didn't have that much information. It kind of had, you know, things for you to think about. But I don't think it was as impactful as Rise Zero was. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Honestly, I personally enjoyed that one.
It was a great book, though. I love the art.
Yeah. I think the reason why I enjoyed that, and I had mentioned this on the show before, was it brought that nostalgia back, just in the style of the art.
Yep.
So.
And Secret Weapons from Valiant have me very hopeful, seeing what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
Harbinger Wars, the sequel that's coming, that's, you know, kind of coming off of that. Renegades book, correct? Is the, with that massacre that happened recently?
Yeah, the Harbinger, yeah.
I mean, that was kind of crazy. They actually a team that actually had their own book has now gotten massacred. Pretty crazy for a publisher to actually kill off a team that actually had their own book for a minute.
Yeah,
that was pretty tight. Give it up to Valiant, man. They keep doing amazing things, and I don't know. You know, again, I know you guys probably mentioned it, but when Dodgy was in the States over here, I got him access to the Valiant office. I was very happy to get him in there. And I know a hell of a bunch of goodies.
Yeah. It really weighed down my suitcase, that's for sure.
You see, yeah, man. So, you know, a shout out to Valiant Comics for hosting my fellow Crusader and Caper.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
At the office, that was dope. Hopefully I get to visit soon and see what you guys are up to. Because again, the Corona and the books, I haven't found anything that has disappointed me as of late. Even the faith in the Future Force has been pretty interesting. That robot, I know people have been complaining about him because it has this very old schoolish look. But I actually enjoy that. You know what I mean? Because look at the 50s movies. One of the most, you know, cheesy looking robots. But if you think of their overall power and whatnot, they're pretty scary.
Yeah.
Mm.
And what else is coming out? Come on, guys. Are you guys not reading, my friends, the Dark Horse with the American Gods books that they're doing? Obviously, has been really good. I've been enjoying it. If you haven't read the novel, this probably be a great way for you to get into the American Gods mythos.
I know Boom Studios has been rocking it.
Yeah, wait. Well, I got one more on the vinyl that I need you guys to check out, which is the War Mother number one.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a hot book, man. If you're into this very into the wasteland look and the, you know, Mad Max type of joint, War Mother's for you. Check that out from Valiant. And I'm sorry, Josh. Go mention that. I know Boom has been booming for sure.
Yeah, they have. I know. Actually, during the show that just, you know, took place in New York, they had their Power Rangers series. They actually had all their comics into one hardbound book, which I would love to get my hands on one of those. What do you mean?
So they put the whole one in a hardcover, like an omnibus joint.
Yeah, ooh,
sweet.
And I like what they're doing with the Rangers anyway. You know, bringing in Lord Drakkon into the mix. You know, it's a new character rather than making a whole new faction of Rangers. You know, they're bringing a new character, bringing in a new story.
Well, I mean, I know you're the Power Rangers. You guys are probably more Power Rangers pros than I am, of course.
Yeah.
And I know that they just recently came out with the Power Rangers Go or something, which is reflective of the original team that we grew up on.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah. So that's the line that's currently going.
As compared to the other one, the Power Rangers, whatever, regular Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
No,
do they run in line, or is one stronger than the other?
I think the Mighty Morphin one is stronger than the Go-Go Power Rangers. The Go-Go line just seems to be more geared maybe to younger audiences who don't necessarily know the original team. Where the Mighty Morphin line, that one's going to be a lot more of a serious run. That's the one where they brought in Lord Drakkon, who is kind of that hybrid of the Green and White Ranger, which he has probably the coolest Ranger costume I have ever seen.
Gotcha. All right. Because again, that was more of my brother's generation. I kind of skipped that. You know, that's when I discovered. Discovering girls and you know, kind of went off.
Yeah,
but they came on TV then. You know, I was becoming my own Power Ranger. You know what I mean?
Oh, he's still waiting to call upon his Zord.
It has been called upon and has finished his service. Factory is retired. All right, leave me alone. Now all about is a success. Karma Crew, Undercover. And Geekly Baby with my two VPs here that I have the pleasure of joining today, which, again, it's been a minute. I'm having fun. I miss you bastards.
Aww. Thank you, brother.
All right, man. So there's a lot of shit going on, brother. You know, we got to finish up really quickly. I understand that. But this week, please check out, I don't know if you guys have been a fan of the Black Hammer series from Dark Horse. But they're going to come up with Sherlock Frankenstein, The Legion of Evil. All right? Ooh. Enough said. Listen to the fucking title. Sherlock Frankenstein and the Legion of Evil. Do you understand? This sounds wild. And the World of Black Hammer has been really good. Check it out, yo. Dark Rhythm, please take a look at it. Let me see what else. I got stuff for you guys. I've been doing my homework while I've been gone, folks. Mind you. Don't ignore it. There's a new label out there called Humanoids. I don't know if you're aware of them. They're actually a new independent label, and I'm going to hand over some of the books to you guys so we could discuss maybe in the next show from this new label. One of the I'll give you three titles that they've come out that maybe you guys could go ahead and look up and kind of find out what Humanoids is all about. They have The Shadows of Salamanca, which is a hardcover trade by Christopher Beck and Stefano Raphael. They have Son of the Gun, hardcover trade by Alexandro Jodorowsky. please. I'm sorry if I butchered your name, and George's Best. And then there's A Sword of Glass by Sylvain Courgiot and Laura Zucheri. It seems that these are a lot of foreign books. But as Pat Mills said, yo, some of these European books are some of the dopest, and he's been right, because when we had Pat Mills on not too long ago, he was discussing all these French books, and you've seen the movie Valerian come out and whatnot. Some of our team of comic creators has had the opportunity, as well as on Geekery, to review some of the Europe comic books. And they're definitely a whole lot different format. Have you guys seen the Europe comics format of the book? Because they're more like a magazine-sized graphic novel.
Yeah,
that's good.
I mean? And it's like, I've never seen that, being as an American collector all my life, and, you know, used to my type of floppies. They've been generous enough to send over books for us to take a look at. And obviously, I may be giving them away soon through a contest, God willing, with the help of Mr. Einfalt over here. He's a marketing genius, folks. All right? Be on the lookout for our social media for creators soon. Yes, folks, you heard me right.
Oh, anyway. Snap.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, but we're going to have it for you guys. It could definitely help step up your game, but you know what I mean? DM us if you're interested. All right? Coming soon. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff to check out, guys. I mean, it's been great. What else? Do you guys not have anything for me? Come on, bro. I know you guys have been looking.
No, honestly, it has been... We've been on top of it. That I'm like, yeah, nope, we're caught up.
Yeah,
caught up. You know. Also, we recently lost an old school artist named and writer, kind of very old school named Sam Glansman. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but there's a gentleman named Drew Ford. He has a label called It's Alive. Now this also happens to be kind of a sub label of IDW. And congrats to that, because that happened not too long ago as well, for Mr. Ford. But he's always pushed the books of Sam Glassman. Has kind of war stories, if you were Sergeant Rock, for example, or Nick Fury, you know, the Leathernecks and stuff like that, you know what I mean? There's the type of stories he did. And unfortunately, we lost him as soon as he went to a hospice, if you believe this.
You know what I mean? 92 years old.
Yeah, you know, he lived a long life, and he worked all his life until the very end. And wow. Mr. Ford is actually pushing a new book, The Return of Sam Glansman's Combat, with a special cover by Russ Heath. This is actually another Kickstarter project from the It's Alive imprint. So it's actually the first Combat Kickstarter to publish on the... and this is actually the Dunkirk issue. So I don't know if you guys saw the Dunkirk film, which is very intense. Good. Jesus Christ, yo.
I know, right?
Intense film. Intense film, really great. I'm a big war movie fan, so I really enjoyed that particular film. So, and this particular story has the story of Dunkirk in it. So please check it out. It's a Kickstarter. It is live now. This actually is a look. Right now, you have variant covers by folks like Simonson and Heath. Future issues are going to have covers by Timothy Truman, Russ Braun, Billy Tucci. If you remember Billy Tucci from She Fame back in the day from Crusader Comics, I should take that name. And then and Dave Dorman. So, you know, respect to an old school creator telling these old school stories of some realities that he faced in his day. So please keep a lookout for that as well on Kickstarter, in my opinion. I feel like Jesus Christ, like I'm just popping news away. You guys are killing me. Holy shit. I should hear the news, breaking news.
Then you were caged for so long, brother. We let you out and look at you.
Yeah, man, it's just a lot of stuff going on that unfortunately I haven't been able to share with our wonderful listeners and with my awesome team over here. Obviously, keep a lookout. I know Josh Benson, Alton are earlier, but keep up a lookout for their releases this month. I'll just go through the quick five titles that could release in this month, which is Mother Russia number 3. Which is the end of the Mother Russia storyline. They have Scrimshaw number 3, The Chair number 3 or 4, which obviously is a movie that he's pushing out on DVD, which includes the last performance of one awesome wrestler, Mr. Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
So issue 3 is coming out. Trespasser number 3 and 4, number 3 of 4 is coming out as well, as the Rooked Righteous number 2 of 6. So keep a lookout for those awesome newsprint covers on your newsstand. And if your shop is not getting them, ladies and gentlemen, please make sure that they order it for you. Support this. This is a great idea, and it's low cost on your pocket. If you want to pay $3.99 for a Marvel book, that's you. But pay $1.50 for some realness here on paperback. You can collect the whole line of the month for under $10.
Actually, what people should do is when you get those newspaper books, take a picture or have someone help you, but take a picture of you sniffing the book.
Yeah, man.
And post it on your social media and let's tag Alterna in it.
Yeah, man. It's making a movement. Great idea. Shout out to Peter Cimetti, kiddo. Good job on this. And much success, God willing, you know that CC and Geekery and Undercover Case is here for you. And especially
absolutely. Focus,
your home for indie news.
Absolutely. And now, folks, we bid you farewell. Thank you for listening to Flipside Focus. We hope to see you again next time.
This has been a production of Undercover Caves. Make sure to check us out on undercovercaves.com as well as on Facebook and Twitter.
All right, let's go. You ready?
All right.
Well, Dodge, you're going to start off the show quickly.
Yeah, man. All right, man. You just come back from like a month-long hiatus and you're just running the shit. This is my show, man.